tried so hard to see it. Took me so long to believe it, that you chose someone like me to carry your victory. Perfection could never earn this. You give what we don't deserve it. You take the broken things and raise them to glory.
You are my champion. Giants fall when you stand undefeated. Every battle you won, I am who you say I am. Me with confidence, I am seated in the heavenly place, undefeated with the one who has conquered it all.
Now I can finally see it. You're teaching me how to receive it. So let all the driving seas, this is my victory.
You are my champion. Giants fall when you stand undefeated. Every battle you won, I am who you say.
Champion. You're thankful for the Lord this morning. Hallelujah. Let's give him some worship. We thank you, Jesus. Lord God, we have confidence in you. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated. This is your first time worshiping with us here at Calvary Gospel Church. We're so thankful that you joined with us this morning, either here in person or virtually online. We're so thankful for that. If you're here this morning in person, you should have received a connection card as you came in. Would love for you to fill that out. Just a few points of information. We want to connect with you. And if you turn it into the kiosk, we do have a small gift for you. If you're worshiping online, you can follow the bit link that you see on your screen, bit.ly/CGC connection. Just again, same few points of information. We just want to connect with you. We have an opportunity to give. Talked about giving a little bit in the last session. Brief thing, but we want to give you an opportunity to give no matter how your way is. Online, you can give on the website. You can give in person, give through the mail, snail mail, send a check, or right on your phone in our Church Center app. Just download Church Center and then search for CGC Madison, and you will see us there, and you can give right through the app. Amen. Thanks. Just one quick announcement this evening. We have a men's outdoor service at 6 p.m. This is at Brother Marvin Renvick's house. This is a postponement from last week's weather that hit us last weekend, and so we're excited for that. Bring a chair, bring some meat to grill, and come ready to hear the word and to fellowship. And we got three men speaking to us this evening. We're excited for that. 6 p.m. at Brother Marvin's house. Amen. If you would stand back up with me, amen. We want to go before the Lord in prayer. Anybody got a need to want to indicate by a lifted hand? Amen. If you want to share with someone around you, or you see a hand of someone else who raised their hand, why don't you just call out their name right now, and we'll go before the Lord. He hears us. He knows our needs, and let's just let him know and proclaim it in Jesus' name right now. We thank you, Jesus. We praise you, God. We worship you, Jesus. We're thankful, God, for your goodness. We're thankful for your mercy and grace. We're so thankful, God, when we feel your presence. Lord, you are our champion, God. We can have confidence in you, strengthen you, and that's why we look to you, God, with every need, no matter how insurmountable it may seem or how small and insignificant it may seem. God, you care about every need, every situation, every circumstance, God. You know, Lord God, the relational needs that are here in this place, and Lord, for those watching online, the financial needs, God, the needs of, Lord, peace and security, Lord God, the needs, Lord God, of salvation and deliverance. I'm talking about how you deliver us, Lord, on Sunday mornings this month. And Lord, we're thankful for that, God. You saw every hand that was lifted in this place. I pray, God, minister to every need, God. We call out our brothers and sisters' names, Lord God, in this place, God. Lord, meet the needs, meet the situation, the circumstance. We're thankful, God. We praise you, Lord God. You are a way maker. You are a way maker in our lives, God. When we don't see a way, God, you are working. You are, Lord Jesus, making a way for us, God. And we're thankful for that. Let's give them a hand clap of praise, a shout of praise. We're thankful, Jesus. We're thankful, Lord.
I worship you, Jesus.
I worship you.
worship you.
I worship you.
You are here.
You are here.
You're mending every heart.
Mending every heart.
So I worship you, Jesus.
I worship you.
I worship you.
I worship. Oh,
If you have your Bibles with you, you can turn to Isaiah chapter 45. We're going to just read a passage here, then you can be seated. Isaiah chapter 45, verses 5 through 7. It says, I am the Lord. There is no other God. I have equipped you for battle, though you don't even know me. And you can be seated at this point. We're going to talk here this morning to something that I feel is one of the most critical things, I guess you could say. As a Christian, we can look at our lives and we have the Word of God that we can read. We should read it every day. If you're struggling and the only time you read the Word of God is when you come to church and you're reading it when we're reading it
collectively together in Scripture, then you're undernourished in that area. If you don't pray, but the only time you pray is when you come to church. I'm pretty confident that most Christians fail or fall or struggle because they don't properly, Brother Demas, know how to fight their spiritual battles. We don't know how to fight our spiritual battles. We don't know how to pass. As the last song led into, we don't know how to pass our spiritual tests. Now, every battle isn't a test, and every test, for me, every test can be a battle. So I am the Lord. There is no other God. I have equipped you for battle, even though you don't know me. Now understand, this passage of Scripture was written when Israel was once again, as had happened many, many times, coming out of a period of captivity where they were in bondage to another nation, whether it's the Babylonians, the Assyrians, whoever it may have been, but they were coming out of a period of captivity in which their faith and their knowledge of their God, Jehovah God, had waned to where it was almost non-existent. A lot of times we like to take and we like to beat up on Israel. We like to criticize them when they come out of Egypt, which in our Bible studies we've been talking about some of that, where they've come out of Egypt, and of course we know the Pharaoh and the plagues, and we've been learning about that in God's Word for Life, but they come out of Egypt. But you have to understand, they went in with very limited knowledge about who Jehovah God was, and they came out 400 years later, and they still had a very limited knowledge of who Jehovah God actually really was. It's like you walking into church here and instantly you need to know everything about God and explain everything. They were just getting, it was the beginning of a relationship. So reading on, here they are in a time period, but God says, I am the Lord and there's nothing else. I am the God. So all the world from the east to the west will know that there is no other God. I am the Lord, there is no other. I create the light and I make darkness. I send good times and bad times. I, the Lord, am the one who does these things. So today, for a few moments, what we're going to do is we're going to cover some very simple, what I just call life principles, very simple principles in which we can apply to our daily lives as you and I live and fight our daily battles. Anybody here ever fight a daily battle? I mean, I think almost everyone here would raise your hand. So, you know what? There are things that I struggle with, challenges that I have. So we are going to take, and we're going to, life, at least my life, I don't know, maybe you've got it all mastered, but my life is a series at times of battles where you fight a series of battles. And I'm certain that if you were to take and be able to chime in this morning, that your battles have not been easy, and your tomorrow will hit you likely with an additional battle, just like I don't know what my tomorrow may hit me with. We go to work on Monday mornings, and Monday mornings just have a way. If you're self-employed, you know what I'm talking about. Monday mornings, Brother Josh, just have a way of slapping you and slapping you pretty hard. You have all of those things that happen over the weekend, and you go into work on Monday, and Monday has its challenges. You have challenges in your life. Maybe your job is a challenge. Maybe too much job or not enough job is a challenge. And children, you have to get the children up, and you have to get them off to school. And some kids get up bright and early at 5:30. And some kids, their day doesn't start till 1 in the afternoon. I remember we had Ava and Cole, our grandkids, come over and spend the night at the house. And my grandkids get up early. And now, I got up early, sometimes 4 o'clock in the morning to go to work, and there was nothing worse. I worked in construction. Some of you guys know what I'm talking about. There's nothing worse than getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning when it's 20 below zero out. You got to go out and start your car. You got to warm it up. By the time you get to lunch, by the time lunch comes, your lunch is frozen. I mean, mornings, I got to where I hated mornings, and I'm like, you know what, if I don't have to get up at 4 o'clock, I'm not getting up at 4. If I don't have to get up at 5 or 6, I'm not getting up. I'm not going to tell you what time I get up now, but it's not at 4 o'clock. So here it's bright and early. I can just see a little bit of daylight poking through the window, and I see this little silhouette. And I open my eyes, and here's Cole standing, like, right here. He's looking at me, and I'm like, Cole? He's like, Poppy, are you awake? I'm like, I am now. Can we go play trains? Can we go play with trains? What time is it? It was like 5:15. I said, when the clock says 8:30, you come back in here, and boy, I'm here to tell you, at 8:30, he was back in there. He was ready to go. So maybe your challenge is this isn't your kids sleeping in, but it's them getting up too early. Your finances can always be a challenge, can't they? Relationships are just complex, and sometimes they're multifaceted. Some days our battleground is quiet. Some days life goes, and life goes pretty good, and it's quiet. Other days, our battlegrounds roar with the screams of overbearing bosses or angry children or grief or hurtful words from our church family, friends, or otherwise. But you see, my greatest desire that as a child of God, as your pastor, my greatest desire is that we learn as a church. We learn as an individual, as a family. We learn to do battle well. Because this is what it's all about. Your success as a Christian will come down to this very simple point. Very simple. That is, how successful am I in fighting my day-to-day battles? Bible talks a lot about this. We look in the New Testament, and Paul is constantly making reference to spiritual warfare, fighting battles, putting on your battle gear, preparing yourself for the day. It's very important. Jesus talked about it in a little bit different manner. But we need to know who our enemies are, and we need to know how to fight our battle. Listen, I've said this so many times. You are in a fight. We are in a fight whether we want to be or not. You can choose not to be, but you are still going to be engaged in a spiritual battle in your life. The enemy seeks to destroy us, and it's important that we learn how to move from strength to strength, because this is God didn't design our lives to operate the way we're operating. But you see, we need to learn how to move from strength to strength and glory to glory. So we must learn to experience daily the goodness of what God has for us as we journey through life. And as I said, yes, much of life is a battlefield. Paul makes so many comparisons. So today, life and battles. How does one successfully gain the strength to fight our battles as well as to move on from the depths of the pain produced out of the battles of our lives? You know, some battles can leave scars. You ever get in a battle? You ever get in a fight? As a kid, maybe you were one of those kids that was always in a scrap in the schoolyard. If I remember right, Brother Peter Sandin was always in some kind of a little scuff with, I think, the Rossing boys. I'm just trying to remember. I know the Rossing boys got in scuffs. Listen, it wasn't a good day at the Grant household if one of us didn't bust a tooth or draw blood off of someone else. I remember my dad once thought it was going to be a great idea that he was going to help us solve our daily issues with siblings. So he went and bought us a pair of boxing gloves. Not a very good thing to do. Three teenage boys, within the first 30 minutes, Steve busted a tooth, had to take him to the dentist. Later in the afternoon, we got the gloves out again. Johnny busted one of my teeth, and Steve got so excited, he ran and bit me in the head. Dad thought it'd be a great way to teach us how to solve our daily battles. But you see, battles, sometimes we can laugh, but sometimes battles can, they can take the strength right out of us, can't they? They can wear us out. How do we endure? How do we move on from the depths of pain that's produced on our battlefield of life? How does one endure traumatic loss and then find hope again? How does one battle cancer and learn to laugh again? We have folks that are dealing with this right now. How do you know the strength? You need to know that the strength is not about your battle. It's more about what you do while you are in the middle of your battle. So we must become good. We must become proficient at battle. Because it's coming. If you haven't had battles yet, it's going to come. We need to understand that strength requires different weapons. When we fight our daily battles, we have different weapons that God gives to us. And he gives us strength. And strength requires different weapons at different times. Strength will require you to let go of the past. Strength will require you to forgive. It will require a quiet response when you want to respond loudly or forcefully, especially when somebody's lying or gossiping about you. It will require prayer in the middle of the biggest battles of your life. It will require a shout of praise when there's seemingly nothing worth shouting about. You see, strength is about being faith-filled despite of the raging winds of fear, doubt, frustration, and anger that swirl round about you. So how do we successfully fight our spiritual battles? How do we pass those seemingly difficult but proverbial constant spiritual tests at times that God gives us? Well, over the years, I've figured some things out. I mean, I guess this is where coming down to taking notes becomes important. If you don't take notes, it's hard to refer back sometimes, isn't it? So that's a big hint. So some things that the Lord has taught me in the midst of some of my most intense battles has a lot to do with feelings. Feelings. We were up at camp working a few years ago, and we were picking on Brother Glenn Rossing. All week long. We had a good time. It was all in fun. And he said, "Careful, you're getting on my feeling." He wouldn't say feelings, just feeling. Careful about my feeling. But you see, sometimes our feelings, sometimes our emotions can get the best of us, can't they? We don't intend it to happen that way, but it does. So one of the most prominent lessons is to persevere in your battle despite how you feel. Doesn't matter sometimes how we feel. Doesn't matter sometimes the level of frustration and emotion that we're dealing with. We have to learn to persevere. Life doesn't stop when you're in the middle of a battle. The world doesn't stop when you're in the middle of the toughest fight of your life. You have to persevere. There have been many seasons and many battles in my life that have seemed to just overwhelm me, where I felt very unequipped and not up to the task. And it seemed that before you could catch your breath as a wave, if you've ever been out in the ocean or in the water and a wave comes and that wave kind of knocks you backwards and you take that gulp just before you go under and you pop back up, and as soon as you pop back up, another wave is right there to hit you. And you seemingly, you can't catch your breath fast enough before another wave is there to take you down. And you feel like sometimes you're ready to just give it up. But through all of that, God has sustained me. God has given me the strength. We can call it spiritual stubbornness. We can call it bulldog tenacity. But the basic principle is you just have to keep putting one foot in front of the other. And when the pain and the frustration and the anger and the grief and the loss puts you on your knees and you think, there's not another tear, I don't have another tear to shed, I can't take another step, who is standing right there? What does our scripture say? Even though you don't know me, God is telling Israel, you don't have a relationship with me, but I'm there. Even when we don't feel that he's working. Perfect song, he's always working. Even when I don't see that he's working, he's always working. Jesus is there giving you the strength. Now, perseverance is about the power of God rising up on the inside of us to hold us when we feel weak. The power, this power that God gives to us, won't allow us to quit. That's what true strength, that's what true grit really is all about. It's about exercising the Holy Ghost strength that we have. I've said this so many times. The Holy Ghost isn't just about salvation. It's there for far more than just salvation. Strength in the battle is about pushing through when everything in you screams to quit. Strength is about fighting when it seems fruitless. Hell hath no fury like a child of God who chooses to rise up and pray and praise and persevere. To tap into that power that allows you to refuse to quit, you and I have to be good at praise and prayer. But nobody feels like praise when you're in the middle of a battle, do you? Sometimes you don't feel like praying when everything around you seems to be falling apart. But you see, we need to get good at learning what God's word says about you and me. So persevere despite of how you feel. Now, we don't want to hear the next point that I've learned, but we understand that strength and muscle is developed when we have something to be strong in. So we go to the gym and we lift weights, don't we? We're building, lifting that weights is building resistance. We work out. And I realized that when I was younger, I could do 100 push-ups. I remember I was at General Conference one year, and Brother Dale Aarons, I was talking about push-ups. I told him I could do 100. He said he'd give me $5 if I did 100 push-ups. I was a little short on cash for lunch money, so I did 100 push-ups to get $5. I don't think I could, well, I could say 100 push-ups now. If you gave me $5 to do 10, I don't think I would. I could probably get 2 or 3 of them, maybe. I don't know. Don't laugh at me. I'll get you up here to try to show us how to do it. But you see, no, we're not. You see, we understand that strength is developed through hardship. And we don't like to hear that. We don't like to see that. But I recognize that it took some practice to achieve the strength, and your strength will come through your battles, and your strength will come through the experience of your battle. It's not just fighting the battle that is important, but the experience that one learns in fighting the battle. And that's why it's important, because every battle is going to be different, and every battle is going to teach you another area that you need experience in as a Christian. Strength is not developed. We like to talk about the mountaintops. The strength is not developed on the mountaintop when everything your feet touches is surrounded by victory. But strength is developed when you're fighting your way to the top. When you're fighting your way, when the enemy has you pinned down and you turn to your left and the enemy's there, you turn to the right and the enemy's there, and it's all, the enemy is all around you, and every ounce of energy that you have is expended. That's when you start building, and that is building the strength. You see, it's the uncertainty of battle. And then what happens so often that we find is that in the middle of that battle, God steps in and God shows up. And God just takes control of our battlefield. You see, God is seeking to develop strength in each and every one of us. Deep in the depths of your soul and the hardship, the struggle, this daily fight that we go through. Someday we're going to look back and say, you know, I appreciate those times of battle, because it was in those moments when I became so much stronger. We don't always understand why God takes us down certain roads, but yet in the midst of the battle, we have to remind myself that you will arrive on the other side stronger than you were when you went in. Battles? Yeah, battles, there may be some war wounds. They will make for powerful stories of God's sustaining power and God's faithfulness. War wounds make great testimonies. I'm reminded of my father-in-law who recently passed away. As we were sitting in his living room one day, and we were talking about scars or something. And he says, "You want to see a scar?" And he was a very quiet man. And he reaches down and he pulls up his flannel shirt, and he's got this huge, about hand-sized gash on his stomach. He said, "That's a scar." And began to explain when he was in the war, World War II, that he was hit with a mortar round. Just sliced off part of his stomach, his abdomen, a little bit of his liver. Just a little, like a hot knife, just sliced it right off. He said it was such a large gash that they went in and they sewed buttons into his skin. And they slowly started to pulling that gash together. We get to think about that. I'm like, oh man, a war wound. Makes for great testimony. Makes for great stories. You see, we have to understand that war wounds, we're going to all have them. They're all going to leave scars. Life leaves scars. Whether you want it to or not, life will leave scars. But it's in our weakness when God can become the strongest. It's in our weakness. So the next point I want to cover is our weakness glorifies our God. You see, we live in a world today that you are taught, our kids are taught, our young men are taught, you don't cry. We're taught that weakness, crying, emotion is a flaw. And that vulnerability is to be mocked and trampled. However, our weakness, my weakness, boasts of God's glory. You see, because one thing I've learned, if I've learned this, is that my strength, I know what I can do on my own, and I know what I can't do on my own. And our strength is not our own. Any victory that we have is by the power of a faithful God. I don't know about you, but I've gotten into the whole heap of trouble in my life. I've gotten more trouble trying to do battle in my own strength. This is a problem that we have, church. We so many times try to take on our enemies on our own strength. And we can't do that and win. Oh, we can do it. It's just going to beat us down. It's going to wear us out. It's going to frustrate us. We're going to go home not believing that God can come through like God says he can come through, because we have to let the Lord fight our battles. As the song says, victory, victory shall be mine. If I let the Lord fight my battles, victory shall be mine. So our strength is not our own, and any victory is by the power of a faithful God. And my own strength will leave me exhausted and defeated. But the strength of God, God is my salvation. God is my strength. God is my help when I get in trouble. God is a presence that is there. I have to understand, and we have to understand, that when God steps into our battles, see, God will step in if we allow him to step in, Brother Phil, but if we don't allow God to step in, God will just keep at a distance. But you see, we have to understand that strength is not about doing church well. A lot of times we as Christians, we get this all confused. We think, well, we had good church today. I did church good. I showed up. I participated. When the pastor said amen, I amen. I put money in the offering. I did church good today. That's where my strength is. No, no, that's not where your strength is. You see, strength is not about doing church well. It's not about pretending that we have it all together. The strength in God is not about traditionalism, and it's not about a set of rules. But the strength that you have with your God is based upon one thing, and that is relationship. It's based upon strength. It's based upon an encounter with our God. You see, strength understands that God, that the God we belong to, who set the sun and the sky and the stars and the night and commands the sea with the sounds of his voice and speaking peace, be still in the middle of our storms. You see, it's about how holy and about how good and about how powerful God is. It's not about how good we do church. And we also have to understand that I have found out that strength, my next point is, strength doesn't always look like we think it should look like. I remember growing up as a kid looking in the comic books. I was a skinny little guy. I was like really skinny. I was sharing this the other night. I think as a freshman in high school, I weighed in at 107. And one of the littlest guys, skinniest guys, and then I don't know what happened after that, but nevertheless, I remember looking in the comic books, and in the back of the comic book, you saw those advertisements for Charles Atlas. The little skinny dudes getting sand kicked on them at a beach. Some big muscle-bound guy comes up to him and says, "You don't have to look like that anymore. You can do this." And I used to think, oh, I wish I had the $9.99 to send away so I could look like that. But you see, I found out in life, strength doesn't always look like we think it should look like. Strength will come in unexpected ways at unexpected times. Maybe you've been praying for days, for weeks, or years about a situation, a battle that you're going through, and you become weary. And then all of a sudden, in a day, in a moment, out of the blue, unexpected, God shows up at the scene, and God does the miraculous. I'm reminded of a very simple story that we find in Luke chapter 7, verses 1 through 10. I'm just going to reference the story this morning, and it's where the Roman officer sent for Jesus to come and heal his servant. Now, Jesus had some unorthodox ways. He went about laying hands on, and he went about praying for people, but then there were times where he just took a little ball of dirt, put a little spit in it, and rubbed it in a guy's eyeballs. Not how you would expect the healing to come. But the servant, the Roman officer, sends and he says, you don't have to come to my house. You're a busy guy. You got a lot of people to heal. All you have to do is just speak the word. The servant was healed. That was very unorthodox because Jesus was caught off guard himself. And when he turns to his disciples and he says, "Wow," paraphrasing, "I have not ever seen this much faith, no, not anywhere in Israel. I haven't ever seen anybody that has had this kind of faith." You see, strength doesn't always look like we think it should look like. But the healing came nevertheless. So you may be sitting here today and you just need to know that God sees you. God watched you walk into this place. God knows what you're battling with right now as you're listening to this message. You see, but we have to understand that we need to know that you need to know that God sees you and that God will work out things for your good. But our frustration comes in when he works out things for our good, his way, and in his timing. We want God to do everything how we want him to do it, and we want him to do it on our time schedule. And I think sometimes God just sits and waits so we can learn patience in our battle. You see, the end of the battle, and you need to understand this, the end of the battle will likely be in a different time than you expect, and the results will likely be much different than you expected. Because God rarely does things my way, and he rarely does it when I want him to do it. You see, the mess of our battles gives God prime position to birth the most beautiful of testimonies through us. And my last point I want to cover this morning is you are promised victory. You are promised victory. You see, as a child of the King, you, me, we are heir to the authority of God Almighty. I am the Lord, and there is no other God. I am the Lord, and there is none other. I created the light. I created the dark. I make all things good, and I make all things good and bad. I created all of this. I'm the one who does these things. And when we walk in that authority, because as his children, we are heirs and joint heirs with him in his kingdom. We walk in his authority and the authority that Jesus Christ paid for us to have on Calvary. Our perspective should shift. It doesn't always shift, because sometimes we're blinded by the battle, but our perspective shifts and we should see ourselves differently. Thus often lies the problem. We often see ourselves through the lenses of our enemy. It amazes me, back to Israel, just like Israel, when they went to sent to spy out the land before they went in to take conquer the land of Canaan, as God had promised Abraham. They said, but we can't do this, Moses. We're but grasshoppers in their sight. We're little. They're huge. There's giants. Israel is saying, Brother Rico, that this promise you gave us is just, we can't obtain it because we're just little and they're big. I'm amazed 40 years later how their perspective shifts in this battle. When you read Joshua chapter 2, verse 9, when the spies are once again back in Canaan land and they're spying out the land again. And what does Rahab say? She says, all of the land, all the inhabitants of Canaan are faint. We're weary, we're tired. We've been watching, paraphrasing, we've been watching you walk around for 40 years wondering when you're going to come in and destroy us. We have seen your God operate. We've heard the stories of the Red Sea. We've heard the stories. We've seen, our spies have seen that pillar of fire that is constant ever presence in your camp. Can you imagine what that would look like from the outside? Israel saw it every day, the pillar of fire at night and the cloud by day. And every day food falls from heaven. We've stood on the outskirts of your camp and we've collected water that comes out of a rock. We are afraid of your God and we are deathly afraid of you. You see, oftentimes we see ourselves through the lenses of our enemies when God says, you are more than a conqueror. I have given you power and authority. And we say, but we're but grasshoppers. You see, when we walk in that authority, we're talking about finding daily strength to fight our battles. When we walk in that authority, the authority that Jesus Christ paid for us to have, our perspective should shift. We should see ourselves stronger. We see that the enemy must flee. We see that though the wall is tall, it falls. We should see ourselves stronger. We should see that even though there are 10,000 encamped about us, they will all fail. One puts 1,000, two puts 10,000. We should see that there are more of us than them. We can run through a troop and leap over a wall. We see our purposes become bigger. Yeah, there may be dark days where victory doesn't seem to be very evident from any side. But I'm sure if you were to be able to go back and have a conversation with Moses, Moses knew something about that. I'm sure if you had an opportunity to talk to old brother Daniel as he gets tossed into a lion's den and the fear the anxiety that came over him the minute he landed at the bottom of that cave and it was full of hungry lions. And he looked around and began to watch them as they began to creep up on him. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's dark and victory doesn't seem very evident from any side, but hey, King, I had a good night's rest. These lions, yeah, I just leaned up against this shaggy one over here, rested my feet on this one over here, and this one kept licking my ear all night long. If our musicians can come. David. Boy, what would it have been like to go up against Goliath? What would it have been like? You see, we can all relate to these men because we know the end of their stories. We know how the story ended. And I just believe and have enough faith in my God that the end of your story will be no different. God seeks and desires to give you victory in everyday battles. Let's stand. I'd like to close this out with reading once again from Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 41, verses 9 and 10 says, I have called you back from the ends of the earth, saying, you are my servant, for I have chosen you and will not throw you away. I love this. I have chosen you. What does that tell me? That means God picked me for his team. God picked you for his team. God chose us. Say, you are my servant. I have chosen you, and I will not throw you away. That tells me no matter what kind of a mess I get into, no matter how many boo-boos I do, no matter what kind of battles I find myself facing, I have chosen you and will not throw you away. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be fearful in the midst of your battle, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged. It's easy to get discouraged sometimes. God says, don't be discouraged, for I am your God. He goes on to say, I will strengthen you. I will strengthen you. I will help you. God's never lost a battle. God's never lost a battle. His train, his battle gown fills the temple. He's never lost a battle. He says, I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. Meaning, I will hold you up with my power and authority. That's my God. That's our God. Finding strength in your battles. So today is perhaps maybe life, your life. We struggle, we fight. Maybe the battle gets more intense at times. Maybe you're on rest, R&R right now from battles. Maybe you're not on the front line and you're back at camp and you're playing tennis. You're just relaxing. The battle's miles and miles away from you. But there's a brother or sister that may be on the front lines fighting for everything they're worth. Every ounce of energy is being expended trying to fight off the enemy. That may be you here today. Wherever you are, there will be a battle. God wants to make sure that we win that battle victoriously. We fight that battle and we win it. So I'm going to open up this altar area. I say open it up. I'm going to invite you. You're fighting a battle this morning. want you to come down. Just say, God, this is way over my head. I can't win.
This is how I find my burden.
I can't win this one. God, I know there are brothers and sisters here that have fought some of these battles. They're going to come and gather
this
around
me.
There's a brother, a sister, a friend, someone that you need help fighting your battle. We're here to help you fight.
This is how I fight my battles.
God bless you.
This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles.
Couldn't hold you down.
how I fight my battles. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I find my battles. 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 By you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
The enemy's been defeated. Death couldn't hold you down. We're gonna lift our voice in victory. Your praise is loud.
The enemy has been defeated. Death couldn't hold you down. We're gonna lift our voice in victory. We're gonna make your praise loud.
Thank you're a guest of ours. I just want to thank you so very much for coming out today. Honored to have you here. If you're all watching online, God bless you. I want you to have a blessed week, church. Just remember, life's going to have battles. All of us are going to be affected by those battles. We're all going to fight battles. But if you could just remember those five simple principles today, God bless you. We'll be back here Wednesday evening. Don't forget our men's our last outdoor men's fellowship for the season at Brother Marvin Renvick's at 6 p.m. Bring your whatever you want to throw on the grill. And don't forget to bring a chair. And don't forget to take your chair home with you. God bless you.